Warriors-Cavs Game 6 is Thursday night here in Cleveland, and we are back at Quicken Loans Arena, just behind the court, where on this Wednesday, the Warriors with practice here in Cleveland getting set for Game 6. I'm Lawrence Scott, and we have a lot in store for you, including Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Coach Kerr with their comments today, plus a two-part conversation with Warriors assistant coach Ron Adams, and a discussion with Steph's college coach at Davidson, Bob McKillop, who has been on the scene here during the finals. But we start with a conversation here on the floor at the Q as Warriors guard Sean Livingston spends some time with us here on the eve of Game 6. Sean, one of the hallmarks of this team is its ability to bounce back after a loss with a great response. What goes into that?
Competitiveness and pride. I'd say those are the two biggest factors. You got to be competitive, you know, and then your pride kicks in to want to, you know, to want to fight. And, you know, you don't want to lose. Nobody wants to lose.
It's a new year, but last season, the Warriors were up 3-2 after a successful Game 5 coming back here to Cleveland. And this case, Game 5 went a little bit different, but the Warriors are still 3-2 leading with a chance to close things out in Game 6. What can you draw upon from last year's success here in a closeout game?
Just knowing how hard it is, you know. The closeout games are always the hardest games, you know. It's just one game, but it's, you know, the other team is fighting for their lives, and it's the hardest thing that you'll ever do in a playoff series.
The Warriors are playing basketball in the middle of June. It's a great deal of fun for Dub Nation, the fan base that has grown to love you guys. And the question I guess I have is, are you guys having fun even in the midst of this battle?
Yeah, we are. It's still joy. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. It does not get better than this. This is the ultimate time that you want to be playing basketball and competing. This is the ultimate competition. And, you know, if you're a competitor, this is where you want to be.
Love it. Thanks so much, John.
Always.
And now to part one of our conversation with Coach Adams. We take what was learned in Monday's Game 5 into where the focus lies for Thursday's Game 6. Coach, all season long, we've seen this team respond when they've needed to after a loss to come back and play really, really well. What has gone into that response?
Probably reflection, you know, thoughtfulness, an ability to be honest with the performance. You know, when it doesn't meet expectations, I think all of those things go into it.
Learning from the lessons that were presented in that game, what distinctly were lessons that will be addressed and redirected into a positive action here?
There's only one lesson at this level of play, you know, in a finals, and that is every possession is important. You have to play it like your last possession, and the team that plays the most possessions of that nature, offensively, defensively, in a game when talent is even, usually wins.
Last thing here, what do you want to see early in Thursday night's Game 6?
I just want to see the will and the intensity commensurate with finishing a series and winning another world championship.
Part two of our conversation with Coach Adams just a bit later, and it will return to a theme that we've addressed with Coach a few times here on Warrior Sound, how growing a successful team is similar to tending a garden or even raising kids. That will be the basis for the discussion. But now we want you to hear the very latest from Draymond Green and some of his comments to the gathered press on this Wednesday here in Cleveland.
I mean, first off, to acknowledge that, you know, it is what it is. You know, I missed Game 5. You know, it's done and over with now. I let my teammates down, you know, not being in the game, you know, regardless of whether I want to jump and say, oh, man, it wasn't that much, or whether someone else want to, you know, have an opinion, say, oh, it wasn't that much. You know, I shouldn't have been suspended. He should have been suspended. I think at the end of the day, everybody's going to have their opinion on it, and at this point, it don't matter anymore. You know, we lost Game 5. We're here for Game 6. You know, I have to be better and not put myself in a position, you know, to where it isn't a decision, you know, where there is an investigation. You know, I have to be better for my teammates as a leader of this team. You know, I can't put myself in a position where I can't be there for my teammates on the floor. You know, I do my teammates no justice. And in street clothes watching a game at at the A's game, you know, and I thank the people over at the A's for having me. You know, I had as good of a time as I possibly could, you know, watching my teammates, and they were great. They showed great hospitality. You know, and I owe it to my teammates to come back and give all that I have, you know, all that I can do to better this situation. You know, I think I have strong belief that if I play game five, we win. But I didn't, because I put myself in a situation where I wasn't able to play. You know, I think my teammates fought, you know, and didn't play well, and still with 6 minutes to go down 6 points, you know, but continued to battle. And it's on me to come out and help that battle, you know, not come out and try to be the superstar, try to be the hero, try to be the saving grace, none of that stuff, you know, because being a superstar, saving grace haven't gotten us this far, you know. Being a great team has got us this far. So to come back and be a piece of that great team is what I owe to this team. That's what I'm looking forward to doing. And, you know, I move on from the suspension. We move on. You know, it was game five. We're here in game six, you know, so it's behind us. And we got an opportunity to do something that I don't know if it's ever been done to where someone, maybe it has with the Lakers and Celtics and all those guys, but where you win a championship on someone else's floor 2 years in a row. We got that opportunity. It's a fun one. It'll be tough. You know, Cleveland's a very good team. You know, they had some guys find their stride, you know, in game five. We look to come out and stop that stride and try to get a win on their floor in game six. So, you know, I look forward to that opportunity.
Raymond, what, if anything, did you learn from this situation?
I just learned, you know, that I learned a lot, you know, as a basketball player, as a man, you know, as, you know, just things that you have to do. You know, you can't put yourself in certain positions. And I wouldn't, you know, one thing that I've already been, you know, kind of teaching myself and trying to learn how to do is control my emotions, you know. So, you know, really just knowing positions that you're in and adjusting to those positions, you know, not putting yourself in harm's way. And really being a better teammate. Me not being, you know, the way I view it is me not being out there on the floor to battle with my guys is being a bad teammate. You know, and I take pride in being a good teammate. You know, so whether it's pride, whether it's however you want to label it, whatever that is has to go behind being a good teammate. You know, and that can never jump in front of that. You know, it's, like I said, I put myself in a position where I couldn't be out there. And the way I view it, it's awful. You know, terrible teammate. And I take pride in being better. So, if anything, being a great teammate at all costs.
All right, from Draymond stepping up to the podium, we now hear what Stephen Curry had to say on this Wednesday here in Cleveland.
Steph, I know you're a team-first guy, but when you see the other two stars on the other side, do you sort of take it like a challenge, like you have to kind of match them, or how do you perceive that?
I mean, every game is different, and you know, when you have two guys play the way they did, you obviously notice because you see the ball going in the basket every time. But for me, you get a little edge about you trying to go back at them. But you got to do it within the system of our offense and how we go about things, and not get the temptation to abandon that just to get into the little back and forth one-on-one. So that's kind of my approach. You enjoy those kind of moments, even though we didn't get the win, but no opportunity to go right back at them.
Emilio in the back.
Yeah, Steph, Emilio Perez, Tap Deportes. We all know you are a hard worker. We all know you, the addicts of the game that you have. But when people question your leadership as a result of what happened in the last game, the last quarter, and how the game slipped from you guys, what do you have to say when people question your leadership and they say that the real leader of this team is Draymond Green?
Who says that?
When people are around in social media and everything else have comments about,
I've always said Draymond's—he's the spirit of what we do. That's, you see it out on the floor. That's what he brings. Everybody leads in a different way. And I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and say game five was a direct reflection of kind of who we are as a team and who I am as an individual, as a player, as a leader. And I was out there, you know, doing what I was trying to do to help our team win, and it didn't work. So that happens in sports. It happens in our game, and doesn't going to stop me from coming back, you know, and doing what I do to help lead my team in game six. So comfortable with that.
Is tomorrow the biggest game of your career so far, being like that you haven't really shown up the numbers that people really expected from you as an MVP? Is tomorrow your biggest game of your career so far?
Yeah, we have a chance to win a championship, so definitely the biggest game, and I'm ready for it.
Tim, standing on the left.
Tim Calcone, Mercury News. Kerr mentioned it right after the last game, same position you were in last year, up 3-2, chance to win a championship here. How much of those memories go through your mind, the celebration, just the way that it accomplished? Different circumstances, obviously, this series is playoffs than last year, but do you feel some kind of symmetry in that?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the same building, and like you said, the same 3-2 lead. Understanding the emotions of what it is to try to win a closeout game on the road. Haven't been through it one time, so that helps. I think it's different because it's a different year. It's a different challenge. Different circumstances, obviously, with a couple of injuries and whatnot, but the opportunity is there, and I think we're a very poised group that's ready for it. So it should be fun.
Also, Draymond is out there saying that he was a bad teammate for missing that game. I guess he apologized to you guys. What's the emotion from the team when bringing him back like that? Do you even have to do anything to bring him back, or is just same as it was for game four and game three, game two, game one?
It's pretty much the same because we know what kind of player he is and what he brings to our lineup and our way of playing. So it is different with Bogues out now. We're going to have another different rotations as well, especially in the starting lineup. So got to make those adjustments. But as Draymond specifically coming back, we know exactly what to expect and how we can play around him and through him and with him. So 3 days isn't going to change that.
Michael on the aisle.
Stephon, with this, how much does it bother you just when you hear that people say an MVP should do this in the finals or should perform at this level? And when you hear some of the crazy theories about what's affecting you, how do you internalize that and how you block all that out?
I don't really worry about it. I mean, there's kind of a historical kind of expectation of the all-time greats in this league that have had great finals moments and had these kind of numbers and these kind of numbers. None of them played for this team and understood how I try to help my team every single night. So, yeah, I want to honestly play better and more consistent, but the situation is right now we're one game away from winning a second championship, and I personally have 48 minutes to do what I need to do to help my team win. So right now you can kind of get lost in that, but at the end of the day, if I'm sitting here on, you know, tomorrow night with another trophy and celebrate with my teammates, we can talk all day.
Same corner, Chris.
Steph, how do you balance the one-on-one matchup? Obviously, Kyrie's a top point guard, and he's having a good series. How do you balance that with the bigger picture of let's just win this series?
It's kind of natural just because, like, sort of the same answer. It's kind of, I know how I help my team, you know, win and how to execute our game plan and the spots that I'm going to, you know, get my shots and where I can be aggressive and whatnot. It's not so much a back and forth, all right, I'm taking you one-on-one, you taking me one-on-one kind of deal. And so I don't get wrapped up in that at all. But, you know, I want to play my best, and if I don't, then I'm frustrated, and I understand I need to, you know, figure that out, and that's really all I'm worried about. So, you know, Kyrie and LeBron had an amazing game in Game 5, and did what they were supposed to do to help their team, you know, stay alive. The story should hopefully be different game six.
John, standing over here.
Steph, do you guys, or do you anticipate you guys starting small tomorrow, or at least playing small a majority of the game? The numbers say you guys are at your best with Draymond playing center in this series. Do you guys feel that? Do you feel like that's your best road to winning tomorrow?
I haven't talked to Coach much. We just kind of understood the situation in the last 24 hours. So that'll be the decision Coach has to make, how we're going to start. I do know, yeah, when we go small and have the ability to kind of kick the pace up a little bit, it usually works to our advantage. But I think it works because of the other lineups that we can throw out there and have that versatility throughout the course of 48 minutes. So we'll see how the rotations go and how we start. But at the end of the day, whoever's out there has to execute better than we did at game five in order to win another championship.
Mark on the left.
Steph, Draymond was just outside telling us that he was a terrible teammate, that you guys would have won game five if he was in the lineup. What do you want him to know, you know, when he thinks of himself as a terrible teammate and that he cost you a game at this time of the year?
We've already talked to him, or I personally have. Like, yeah, it wasn't an ideal situation to not have him out there, and hopefully he's not put in that situation again where he's putting his playing status in jeopardy. But at the end of the day, it's a team game. We had an opportunity to go out and win a championship, and it would have been the ultimate video montage to see him running across from the baseball stadium with the camera following him into the Oracle Arena. Like, that was like the dream celebration, but it didn't happen. So missed opportunity there. But I think there's a game six, and he's going to be available, and we're going to have another opportunity to win a championship. So nobody will remember this down the road if we get this done tomorrow night. So that's really all we need to talk about.
Are you concerned that he might have a lot in his head about how he has to dial some of himself down and some of himself up to avoid any further incidents in this situation?
No, I think he's going to play with that same aggression, that same passion. Leave it all on the floor, but be smart. I think he can do that without having to take a piece of himself away from what he does on the floor and who he is as a basketball player and a competitor and whatnot. So he won't get baited into any kind of altercations. He won't. I'm pretty sure he'll be talkative, but hopefully in a very constructive kind of way. So that'll be good.
Tim on the left.
Steph, I guess you had the film session from the last game this morning. What do you do when you see he had some open threes in the last game? What do you think when you see yourself get that shot and miss that shot a few times in a pretty key spots last game?
I don't really worry about the shots that I missed. Those are ones you live with. You live with the result. You don't really want to go back and analyze, you know, oh, I got open. What happened? Why did I miss it? Or was my feet, you know, not square to the basket? Or did I not hold my follow through? Whatever. I don't really worry about that because those shots will come. And if I can keep the confidence, I'll hopefully knock them down the next game. The stuff that kind of bothered me the most is there's on the offensive end of certain possessions where we had the right reads and the right looks. But passes got deflected because they were a little, you know, a little lazy, or we didn't have the crispness to what we were doing. Those are the situations where you feel like you had missed opportunities. Open shots, you know, make or miss doesn't really bother me that much. But the other stuff that takes us out of the rhythm of our offense, that I control most of it, is the frustrating part. So that was the most glaring thing that we saw on the film. And you know, I have to shore that up.
And defensively, what would you say the things, what specifically did you not love about that game when you look back on the film?
Breakdowns, communicating on switches and in transition, finding, you know, our matchups. And certain details of the fundamentals of just body position on defending guys one-on-one in space. We gave too many angles to the basket where we put our help defense in a bad spot with straight line drives to the basket and whatnot. I mean, it might be overblown a little bit because they made so many tough shots, but if you have guys that are hot and you give them those, you know, 3 to 5 possessions where you have breakdowns as well, it just makes things worse. So got to fix those.
Stephen's college coach at Davidson, Bob McKillop, was here in Cleveland for Game 4 and also in Oakland on Monday for Game 5. And in the pregame at Oracle Arena, we got a chance to sit and talk a bit. Take a listen. Davidson head coach Bob McKillop, a frequent guest on Warriors Sound, joins us here again. I'm Lawrence Scott, and it's always a privilege to talk with Coach McKillop. And as we look at what was another very, very successful season for Stephen Curry and the Warriors, you see back-to-back MVP awards. And when you think of the trajectory of Stephen Curry's pro career and back to how you knew him as a high school player, what were you seeing in him in those days at Charlotte Christian before he got to Davidson that now have materialized in this incredible way?
He's had a magnificent season after a magnificent season, so the consistency is really becoming very, very prominent. I reflect back upon the summer prior to his senior year. He played in a tournament in Las Vegas, and he was absolutely awful. And it was a showcase tournament, so college coaches from throughout the country were there to see him. And in this particular game, he had not garnered the attention of any college coaches other than a handful. We happened to be there, Matt Matheny, our assistant, and myself, and he had 8 or 9 turnovers in the first half. And what really jumped out at me was that after he made a turnover, he would not make a face, he would not point a finger, he got back on defense. During a timeout, he listened intently to his coach, who happened to be his dad, Dell. Never once lambasted a teammate for not catching a pass, never once questioned the referee. There was a consistency of attitude, as there's been a consistency of performance. And to me, that translates to what he's accomplished today. Now, interestingly enough, in his first game in a Davidson uniform, we're in a Michigan tournament up in Ann Arbor, and we're playing Eastern Michigan. We're down 17 points in the first half. Go to the locker room at halftime. Steph has already got 8 turnovers as a starting freshman guard. We huddle as a coaching staff. Do we take him out of the lineup? We're down 17. He's had all these turnovers. We reflected back to that afternoon in Las Vegas when he never quit on his attitude and his effort and being a great teammate, kept him in. And yes, he wound up getting a double-double, 15 points, 13 turnovers. We won the game. Next night, he dropped 32 on Michigan and has been full speed ever since.
You know, is this a triumph not just for perhaps Davidson basketball, but all of college basketball, to see a guy spend 3 good seasons in a uniform with a college and then matriculate to the NBA and then take that skill set that's had time to blossom a bit in the college game and then really turn on the heat once they get to the NBA?
Well, I think it's particularly a very poignant story for every kid growing up that plays high school basketball, that plays AAU basketball, rec basketball, and for every college player as well. Here is a guy who is average-sized, and he has taken his game to the highest level, but he's not content with yesterday's glory. The quest for excellence is a daily part of his life, and that's why he's able to garner votes for most improved player, and in that discussion, while also securing the MVP. What an extraordinary statement about consistency of performance and passion of work that is such a part of who Steph is.
You were back in the Bay Area here for the Positive Coaching Alliance Awards that took place a couple of months ago during this incredible season where the Warriors went 73-9. And tell me about that night and really not just catching up with Stephen, but being recognized in such a way as having such an instrumental part in Stephen's development and where this career keeps going.
They gave an award called the Game Changer Award, and the 49ers and the Giants and the Raiders and the Athletics and San Jose Sharks, as well as the Warriors, partook in it. So it was quite an assembly of outstanding athletes in our world today. And it seems to me that the Bay Area is just constantly in this tremendous pathway to success in what they're doing. Watching the Giants today and the Sharks just getting knocked out of the playoffs. And getting that award was an acknowledgement from staff of how his experience with us at Davison was so pivotal in his development. And it's a two-way street. He was the most marvelous young man to coach and one of the greatest teammates. And it's a terrific story about being a great teammate. He's the leading scorer in the country December of his junior year, which was his last year. I think he was averaging 27, 28 points a game. And we're playing Loyola of Baltimore at home. And for whatever reason, their coach determined that he was going to try to hold Steph scoreless. And his game plan was to play a triangle and two with two guys constantly sandwiching Steph. At the 16-minute mark, the first TV timeout, Steph comes to the bench. This was clearly his call. Coach, I'm going to stand in the corner, let those two guys guard me, and we'll play 4-on-3. What a great teammate to do something like that, to put the collective object goal of success over his own individual statistics. We wound up winning by 30, 35 points. He didn't score, but never once tried to force the issue, tried to deviate from what he determined was the game plan. That's Steph Curry.
It's always a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you so very much, Coach.
Thanks, Mark.
Right, from one coach to another, let's bring back Coach Adams and a theme that we frequently revisit. He passed along an excerpt from an NPR article on their website, a passage from the book The Carrot Purple and Other Curious Stories of the Food We Eat. Coach Adams is a native of the California Central Valley, and agriculture is a topic that we weave into concepts around basketball from time to time, and this book featured a section on the apricot and its cultivation over the years. So how does that exactly relate to a successful team? Well, we veer a bit here from growing fruit to raising kids.
Well, there's certainly lessons in that example. I think the lesson is difficult sometimes with this team because we've done so much winning. And we've not done a whole lot of backsliding. You know, we haven't, we have not continued to refine the apricot. It's like an early freeze that kills your produce or something. It's, you get past it and you go on and you hope for better things. And so in equating it, I would say this, I think it's more like child rearing in some ways, broadly speaking, but like you do your best as a parent to raise your kids up in the right way. And then you have to have the confidence in them after what you've done, and there can be strain. Your kids can take directions that probably you don't approve of always, you have to have confidence in the fact that you did the best work possible during the formative years. And I think with our team, we probably feel that way. I think the work's been done. The fruits of our labor are evident, and now everything becomes more focused, more pronounced, more important, and hopefully that upbringing, so to speak, will carry us through.
Only Coach Adams could share such a perspective, and we love each and every time that he brings some wisdom here to Warriors Sound. And we will hear from Coach Kerr in moments, but first, here's Klay Thompson speaking at the podium today.
How much confidence do you guys feel having Draymond back for tomorrow's game? That's my first question. Second question, what do you need personally as an individual do better than the last game to try to finish the series tomorrow night?
I mean, obviously, it's a great addition having Draymond back. You know, he does everything for us. And, you know, we missed him last game, obviously. So that's going to uplift us. But at the same time, we can't just relax and let our guard down because Draymond's coming back. We still have to go out there and win the game and put in great effort. And for me individually, just to, you know, play tougher defense on Kyrie, obviously. I mean, give him credit. He was hitting very tough shots. He was on that night. But if we expect to win, we can't have him and LeBron going for 40-plus. You know, they're going to get their numbers, but we got to collectively slow them down because, you know, those two make them go.
Tim.
Steve Kerr mentioned right after the game that still up 3-2, just like you were last year going back to Cleveland. Has he reinforced that to you guys? And how much do you flash back to Game 6 last year, knowing you did celebrate a championship in just this way? Different circumstances, but in just this way.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. You know, when you lose a game in the finals, feels like Armageddon because obviously with the spotlight and the stage. So you can't get too down on yourself. You know, we had a golden opportunity. We let it slip away. That's all right, though. We got a great chance to redeem ourselves tomorrow. And, you know, I don't think we really care if we win on the road or at home. We just want to win. You know, it's hard work to get here. It's even harder to finish it off. So we do feel good, though. And we've won here on the road before, so it's easy to reflect on that. But at the same time, you know, like I said, can't just show up and expect to win. This is a very good team we're facing.
And have you had time to have a film session yet? Is that coming up for the last game?
Did you
have one already?
Yeah, we had a film session this morning. It was very good. We didn't play our brand of ball. Too many uncharacteristic turnovers. They beat us in transition 27-9 on our home floor. We're too stagnant at times. And we realized that, you know, it was a 6-point game with 6.5 minutes left. And, you know, a couple bad shots and a couple good makes by them broke it open. But, you know, it was a winnable game. So as bad as we played, we still had a chance. We were in there. And tomorrow we have to be more sure with the ball. We can't, you know, let them beat us, triple our fast break points. We got to limit them in that aspect and not turn it over. And if we stay solid on defense, I think we'll be in a good position to win.
Last question, not to knock your teammates at all, but are there spots in the film when you could tell yourself, okay, Draymond might have been in that spot and might have helped this here, helped in this play? Those notes go through your mind?
Oh, no question. I mean, it would be like that if anyone was out. But plenty of times where you see where Draymond makes a huge impact on the game, it shows how important he is, even when he's not scoring or making the play on the ball. Or making the perfect pass, you can tell just his presence is huge out there. So, obviously he's a second team All NBA guy and All Star. So it's going to open up our offense a little more and our defense tomorrow to have him back. But like I said before, we can't just relax because Dre's back. We got to pick up our intensity, try and exceed Cleveland's because you know it's tough in their home building.
What has he told you guys? Has he said anything to the team or to you individually about him missing last game?
Yeah, he was very apologetic. We could all tell it hurt him bad. He told us it was the toughest thing he had to sit through as an athlete, and couldn't imagine. But you know, he has a chance to redeem himself tomorrow. We obviously missed him, but he was very apologetic, and we understood. You know, we had no hard feelings against him. We just need him to come correct tomorrow, and you know, everyone will forget about it if, you know, winning's the best cure.
Finally, we wrap things up with Coach Kerr's comments on this Wednesday here in Cleveland.
Steve, you've been a part of the 2-3-2 format as a player. The format this year with 2 days off between games except 3 and 4, what are the advantages of that situation, and are there drawbacks to having the 2 days between games?
Yeah, I don't see any advantages. I see more drawbacks, more travel. You know, for both trips to Cleveland, we've come 2 days in advance. We never do that in the regular season. I understand, you know, we're doing this to stretch it out and have more media sessions or whatever, but I just think every other day is the way it should be, but it's not up to me.
And just real quick to that point, in terms of player rest or giving your guys an extra day, is there anything you see there that's noticeable in terms of being a little more fresh?
No. I think every other day is ideal for players. You get, you get a day off, and then these guys are incredible athletes. 48 hours between games is kind of what they're used to during the regular season. And it just seems like this is taking forever.
Tim on the left.
Yeah, Tim Calcami, Mercury News. Just a couple things. Saw the news on Andrew. Was there some hope even yesterday that you would get him back for the series? And what kind of blow is it to know that he's not playing for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there was hope. We didn't know what the MRI would show. You never know with this stuff. I was also worried that it would be worse. Maybe an ACL or something. But it's bad news for our team. Bogues has made an impact in this series. First couple of games, I thought he was really impactful. Last two, we played him fewer minutes, but still, he's a defensive presence at the rim and rebounder and a great passer. So we'll miss the minutes that he's been giving us.
And obviously now with Draymond back, we know what he means to the energy and the passion of this team. Is there any concern that there could be too much? And Draymond himself could bring too much. Do you have to discuss that with him about what the limits are, what the levels are, what he's going to bring to this team?
Well, he knows that if he gets another flagrant, he misses game seven. He's well aware of that. So I'd be shocked if anything happened on that front. I think he feels bad enough as it is about missing game five. He's not going to put himself at risk of missing another game.
Over here on the right.
Carl Stewart, Berea News Group. Steve, last year in game six, you did not play Bogut at all, even though he was healthy, but you did bring Zeely off the bench, and you got really productive minutes from him. I think about 10 minutes, he scored 11 points or something like that. What do you see as your role, the role of the bigs now without Bogut?
Well, still important. This is a different series than last year. Last year they were playing Mozgov a ton. Obviously, they didn't have Kyrie and Love, so it was different personnel. They didn't have Fry. So it was a different style. It was a different series. But you always need bigs, even if the game is small. We're not going to play small for 48 minutes. So Festus will play a role. So will Andy. Mo could still get back out there. I thought he did some really good things for us the other night. The box score didn't show it. He didn't make his shot, but he did some really good things. So, again, everybody's got to be ready, and everybody plays a role.
How much do you think Festus will be helped by having Draymond on the floor? Those guys seem to work really well together.
They do. Everybody's helped with Draymond being on the floor. So that'll be nice to have him back. We missed him the other night. We were disappointed in our performance without him. We thought we could still get it done, but we didn't. So now it's time to recharge the batteries and get ready for tomorrow night.
On your left in the front row.
Steve, after winning 73 games, will it be a failure if you do not win this final series?
You guys get to make up that story. So whatever you want to write is fine. I'm not going into that.
Next row back.
Throughout this series, you guys have kind of had different guys show up in different games off the bench. You've used pretty much every player. I'm just curious as to some of the thought process behind giving guys like Varejao and McAdoo, more minutes when, we'll see them not play much for a few games. So I'm curious as to how you have like confidence in those guys to step up on the biggest stage.
Well, first of all, they're all great players. Everybody in the NBA is a great player. And it's just our philosophy as a staff that if you play guys and give them meaningful minutes throughout the regular season, then they're going to be ready when their time comes in the playoffs with injuries or matchups or whatever. So we feel like playing everybody empowers them. It makes our team stronger. It creates a stronger bond. And we have confidence that they can all come in and make an impact.
Tim on the left.
Steve, you started Iguodala last game. I'm not saying that it means anything for the next one, but was that generally your reaction to Love getting back into the starting lineup for Cleveland? Was that kind of a chess match there to see who they were starting?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think both teams are wary of matchups, you know, just like in every series. And so you kind of mix and match based on, you know, how you can best counter what your opponent is doing. Both sides are doing that. With Andre, it's more than anything, you know, without Draymond last game, Andre is one of our best players. He's one of the best players in the league in terms of what he does all around. So with Draymond out, we just felt like we had to have Andre in.
And last question, you mentioned it at the last game that 3-2 is just the same as you were last year going back to Cleveland for Game 6. How much do you want your players picturing those last moments here in Game 6, that it was here, that locker room, all those things that are in their memory bank?
I don't think I have to remind them. We have great memories from last year, the memories that will remain forever. I remember all the championship celebrations that I was lucky enough to enjoy as a player. But more than anything, they want to feel it again. You know, whether it's here or in Oakland, doesn't matter. But biggest thing is not thinking about last year or thinking about celebrating or thinking about anything other than what we have to focus on. And we made so many mistakes in Game 5. We were poor in so many areas. And yet, you know, with 5 minutes left, it's a 6-point game. So we feel like we can do much, much better. And our focus is to clean up our mistakes.
Ron, last question here in the front.
Steve, how do you view sort of what Festus has provided this series? It seems like at times you're uncomfortable to play him. Other times he's played pretty well. And it seems like he brings some of the same things of Bogut in terms of rim protection, obviously not a passer.
Yeah, no.
How do you sort of compare their games? And
well, Festus hasn't had big minutes in this series. He was important in the first couple of games. I think he played 9 or 10 minutes in each and made an impact. And then his minutes went down in 3 and 4. But with Bogut out, his minutes will definitely climb. And he gives us a guy who dives hard to the rim on offense and can finish, you know, lob dunks and putbacks and that kind of stuff. And really good rim protection. So I feel very confident playing Festus, and he'll be an important role. He'll play an important role in the rest of the series.
Warriors-Cavs Game 6 coming up Thursday night here in Cleveland. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.